January 30th, 2021. It's a lot for Pedro show. Pedro show. You can hear my guest making noise there. Where are you talking to me from, Brother Troy?
I'm in Santa Monica, California.
Okay, SoCal. Pert near a neighbor. You're only like 30, 35 miles away.
Yeah.
Me here in Pedro to the north. You know what? There was one point, in fact, Cullen Huntington was betting his whole fortune on the harbor being an S&M.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know how long you've been there, but there's a history. We're talking over 100 years ago, and it ended up being called the Free Harbor Fight, and we won.
Okay.
Yeah, we won. The Navy came in our side, and they finally decided that there's deep enough water for their warships and shit, but he had built a mile of wharf there. He thought it was going to be there. Anyway.
I had no idea, man.
Well, that's why part of the reason you're on the show. I want to enlighten you to that. You're on this show because of the fucking Righteous Connect. Stevie Bono, we got to give him credit.
Yeah, props to Steve Bono, he's great.
Absolutely. And we started the show off, people, with John Coltrane and Don Cherry doing Jericho. I think Ed Blackwell was on the drums.
Wow.
Trippy album called The Avant-Garde. You know, they were putting out all kinds of stuff once they knew John Coltrane was fucking blowing minds.
Yeah, he was elevating everything.
Yeah. So any kind of recording he did when he was a younger man was getting released and shit. But I think Percy Heath is on the bass. No. Charlie Hayden on this song. He's on two songs, and that's Petra's father. Because what's trippy about this record, because of Don Cherry and shit, three Ornette songs, and then a Don Cherry song and a Thelonious Monk. And then we had Mark Guliana with
Juliana,
I should say. Yeah.
Shit. Yep.
Right. They have the soft G, giallo for yellow.
Yeah, that Italian pronunciation.
Right. Probably because it's Italian.
Yep.
So, Mark Giuliani. No, Giuliana, because Giuliani is that plural of the clown in the New York City, right? Okay, Flaw and Order. And that's got you on the fucking, you're the stick man with the beat in your hand, right?
No, I'm actually not. That's going to make this experience kind of interesting. I'm actually on electronics on that one, Mark.
That's all right. You know, at the end of the day, it sounds coming out of speakers. I don't know how they got there.
Yep. I hear you.
But that's bitching that you've expanded out and you're doing shit like that. Okay.
Yep.
Let's start with your journey in music.
Right on.
Troy? Yeah. Your earliest musical memory.
Oh. I mean, probably something at home. My there was music in the house. My dad played guitar and banjo and mandolin.
Oh, great. Where was this, Troy?
This was in, I grew up in a town called Windsor, Connecticut.
Okay. I know the other Windsor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's part of Ontario province. And like the motors and the Econo lines, the 351, it was called the 351 Windsor.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
so, as opposed to the 351 Cleveland, which went in the Stangs.
Okay. Man, I am car illiterate.
That's okay. I'm just telling you how Watt knows the name of that town. And the original one is probably in England anyway. So you got musical instruments in the pad that you're growing up.
Yeah. And weird. Like, my dad was into bluegrass, which is weird because, you know, I'm black, he's black. Strange. You know, for black people in Connecticut to be digging bluegrass, but you know, there was that. There was watching a lot of hee haw.
Well, you know, music is music, and then fucking Roy Clark could play shit.
Oh, man, he's a killer, Roy Clark.
And do you know there's a connect with Leo Fender? He knew those guys. He was, you know, making stuff like the bass, you know, the precision.
Yeah.
So they could tour without tying a motherfucker to the top of the station wagon. They toured in station wagons in those days. You know, Connecticut Cat, really good on bass in New Haven, Doug Wimbush.
Oh, yeah, I know his godson. I played some music with him coming up, Jamie McDonald.
Okay.
And Doug, I think Doug was in a band with his dad in the, like, 80s and 90s.
Well, he's part of that Sugar Hill thing and Mark Stewart. Yeah. I think he's on some Rolling Stones songs.
Yeah, he definitely played with Mick. Yeah, that guy's...
That's it.
Big, big bass inspiration, that guy.
Yeah, I love his playing. He likes a lot of effects, but
yep.
He could play a rubber band and be musical. A big
respect. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so you have some trippy music. That's all right. Music's music. And
Yep.
Okay. What about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
You know, I did some choir stuff. I did a good amount of singing when I was younger. There weren't a whole lot of band opportunities for me. So when I started playing an instrument, it was really just me trying to start my own band from a young age.
And how'd that get going? Tell me about that.
Well, where I started playing.
Jumping on an instrument.
Yeah, so I started on violin, and I did that for about a year, but it didn't really take. And then when I was about seven-ish, eight-ish, my mother had me start playing drums.
It was her idea.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, because I got on bass because of D. Boone's Ma. Ma's are important.
Yeah, right? Right? So you didn't want to... What,
I didn't even know what it was. She just said, I want you in a band with my son, and you're going to be the bass player.
Oh, that's awesome.
We were 12.
Just because you guys had the connection, she knew you were the guy to be part of it, or...
I think she wanted us not get in trouble and stay in the house after school.
That makes sense.
So it's like Econo child care. It was and shit, and, you know, it was early 70s, so not a lot of guns, but still fighting. And so I thought... That's what I thought, you know, because it was only arena rock in those days, so we never had ideas you could play those places.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
So how do you get your first drum kit?
They bought me a garage kit, which I wish I had still. I think it was an old, like 50s Ludwig, Red Sparkle.
Wow.
And they bought it at a garage sale for like $50, and for maybe the first 7 years, I played drums. That was my kit, but I was too, you know, I was into rock mostly, so I was too young to really appreciate what I had, and got rid of that kit when I upgraded to the next kit.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Were you self-educated? Did you listen to records and try to play beats?
Yeah. So I took lessons. I started taking lessons like when I was when I just turned eight. I started taking lessons, and then I was steeped in music. It was a weird thing that my mom chose drums because I wanted to play guitar. Like we used to, the kids in my neighborhood, one of them had an 8-track stereo. We used to go to his house and do like a rock band thing, and I was always the guitar player when we were doing that. So. And that's, you know, that's why I play guitar today as well, is because, like, that kind of pushed through. But drums were really the first thing that took for me.
And what was the first record you bought with your own money, Troy?
Oh, man. Like job money or when I was a little kid?
You know, when you don't have a lot of money, right? So it counts where you spend it.
Yeah, so I remember when I was about seven, I bought two cassette tapes. In one go, the first one was Rolling Stones' "Tattoo You."
Oh yeah,
and then the other one was AC/DC "Back in Black."
Yeah, both fucking happening. And what about the first gig you saw?
Man, the first gig was was Power Station.
Robert Palmer, right?
Robert Palmer, but he didn't do the tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was like he was doing that Addicted to Love, like yeah, that solo sure. blew up. That had just started, maybe just started coming over. They knew it was going to be big, so he did the record. Which I mean, it was a great band.
Yeah, Tony, he's a great singer. Great singer.
He's a great singer, but the drummer in that band, this guy Tony Thompson, man, just big inspiration, killing, killing.
Okay. Can I ask you, Troy, though, about that 80s sound with the gated snare, man? Does that didn't age well, huh?
No. And you know what's weird is I didn't like it at the time. And, you know, get back to the Wimbish thing, you know, that was that was a Living Color drum sound, too, for, like, their first couple records. And I love Living Color, but that's one thing that kind of put me off.
Yeah, but I don't think Doug was in the band. He had another bass man then.
Yeah, they had Muzz. Ooh, that guy's
really good, really good, because I got to play with them in Firehose and Davis. They're all good. No, Vernon is, like, incredible. And Will, great stick man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, great band.
And I think they were looking at, musicians, they're looking at Bad Brains, but the producers, were trying to get that weird Duran almost, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, you're absolutely right.
What about the thing where you got the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band after school? Did you do that?
I did, yeah. Starting like in middle school, just doing kind of whatever came by. Like pretty early on, I was into pretty aggressive music. Like I was really into Motley Crue, bands like that, and elementary school, big Van Halen fan, and then in middle school, you know, that kind of turned into, like, getting into Metallica and Slayer and Megadeth, and then all woven throughout that was kind of the hardcore thing, listening to the Circle Jerks and Bad Brains and, you know, stuff like that. So a lot of the early stuff was just covering that music for me.
Okay. You know, I want to play another Mark Juliana. I produced it right this time. That you gave me. I create your own future.
I know. We'll be right back.
She's just a weekend girl. She's just a weekend girl now. She's just a weekend girl now. She's just a weekend girl.
Jones. At this candlestick case, the winding road of re-apologies. The bully runs from his corner, images will do the media. Hungry hunger further, the hungry hunger further. Thanks for allowing us to fuck you. Behind closed doors, closed minds. Attract the feudalism. Commercial Orientalism.
Pedro Show? Yeah. Mark Giuliano. Well, gets it right. I create your own future. I'm going to try on the drums. Pat Kane, he's got a new record. Brick is the tune. Bums Prendon, Triage from DC Scene. The last from the Missing Second album that just came out after 40 years. Hands Rotting out of Switzerland. Oh, well, that was called Weekend Girl because it's the weekend, right? Saturday. Hands Rotting from Switzerland with Impro Chuk. Yeah, T-S-C-H-U-N-K. So, chuk. I don't know. Jan Bart Lou with Number One out of Groningen. Mika Levy, Levi. Or Levy. Fuck. Challenge for what? Destroying everybody's language. I'll never. Hygiene. But, yeah, two words, right? Hygiene, you know, like a name. And then I'll Never Say from Dale Crover. There's a drummer man with his new solo record.
Yeah.
And other stuff. Yeah. Why not? You know, my theory is if you could play drums, you could probably play all the other instruments because it's all rhythm in this kind of trip, you know?
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Too.
You know what I mean? It's not like where you put the stupid guy. So that's fucked up. And then finally, Serge tanking with uneducated democracy. Serge over here from System of a Down. I think where's all the Armenian cats? Glendale or Burbank, that area, North Hollywood. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a great singer, and that's an intense band. They ain't been doing much, but that you played so good on that, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah,
thank
actually, you. All this stuff. And anyway, let's get into how you got there. So you're into all these kind of what they call it, like kind of shred or hard metal, hard rock, and but you make a band, right? Do you guys do gigs, or is it just practice copying off records?
Like the first bands I had were doing gigs, but it was friends' parties, or there weren't a lot of places in Connecticut where you could go as a kid. Like every once in a while, someone would rent out a VFW hall and put something on, where nobody made any money, but you got to throw up and be loud for 30 minutes in front of 20 people, so it was a lot of that.
What big town is Windsor near?
It's right next to Hartford.
Okay, Hartford. There was a club called, I think, Anthrax Hardcore Days.
Oh yeah, that wasn't in Hartford though. That was like, I know what you're talking about. I went there a lot before it closed down.
Yeah,
it was a great club.
And then there was like old fashioned rock clubs like Toads.
Yeah.
You're right though, Connecticut. But the I-95. Did you ever make the drive down to New York City?
I did to see shows when I was growing up, like went to Roseland a lot and that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure.
So did any of these, besides the parties, keggers and stuff like that, when was the first time like you played a club?
Oh, man. It was probably maybe my senior year of high school. We played someplace in Connecticut with a band that was passing through. I had like a hardcore ish metal band called My Reality at the time.
That's great. Great name.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, we did a demo that we gave to a bunch of people that I'm sure nobody liked, but it was music, so they put us on a bill.
There's a college in Hartford, Trinity.
Yep.
I played there with Mule. And
no kidding.
I wouldn't shit you, Troy. And on I mean, this is an old college because on the shutters they had a hanging for like witches and shit.
Yeah. I saw a lot of shows. I saw Sonic Youth there a lot. I think I saw the Pixies there.
Okay, I didn't mean to be a tangent. Okay, so what do you do in college? Do you go to higher education music?
I did, yeah. I went to Berklee Factory of Modern Music people in Boston.
And what was that like?
That was, it was crucial for me because, I was like a lot of guys who were like, the best drummer in your podunk town, but then you get into the real world. Like my first week at Berklee, I realized, man, I'm worthless. I really have to put the rubber to the road.
You're getting in to Boston, there's a big ring road, a bunch of them actually, right? There's a freeway one, they're not freeways, but interstate. We always called that the Mass Pike, the Richard Blackmore, because that he wore a fucking pilgrim hat. But anyway, there's a podunk. Over ramp or whatever the fuck, overpass. Shit you not. I saw it on. It was like podunk. So here's the. Can you tell me this? Answer me this. Your opinion.
Yeah.
A good thing about Berklee too is the connects.
Yeah. I met a lot of guys. I mean, for me, music is really the soul of existence. So.
Sure.
So. The connections were just inspirations, like some of the guys that I've met and some of the guys I'm still friends with are just supremely influential and inspirational to me. And, that's an important thing I carry through my life is like, especially with my closest friends is part of the reason, obviously we get along, but I hang with cats that are really inspirational to me and like give me a reason to keep pushing forward,
Yeah, you can learn from them too, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
burning.
And so while you were doing the Berkeley thing, and a lot of theory, but probably a lot of prac, right?
Yeah, a ton.
And then what happens after that?
I was in a lot of bands in Boston. Getting back to the car thing, I was actually in a band called 454 Big Block, but but the whole time I was in that band, I had no idea what that was a reference to. I was pretty short lived, but I was in a lot of louder, more aggressive bands, and then and doing some like what they call GB gigs, like corporate.
Can I ask you something? Because yeah. Berkeley more of a fusion jazz thing, right? How was the student body about this hard rock stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, there were some people like my circle of friends were guys who appreciated that, and kind of in the wider sense, like being there was important to me because it divorced me from like this hard won marriage to genres, you know, like
yeah,
when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, this is hardcore, this is speed metal.
Yeah,
and
I totally agree with you, man. Music is music, and fuck
yeah,
that
exactly,
shit.
Exactly. You know, I was watching this thing on Louis Armstrong, and I was watching that, and I was thinking, man, like some of this stuff that I hear modern guys, like, do in death metal is similar vocally to what he's, like, I see that lineage, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, that kind of Berkeley opened that up for me, which was pretty huge, I would say.
Man, that was what the movement did for me. Liberated. I could listen to music as music and not have to, like, find a category to put it in. Like, bullshit.
Yeah. Which, you know, I think with good music and good musician, like, a really great example is I used to work at this joint in Santa Monica called McCabe's.
Oh, yeah. Guitar Shop.
Yeah. And there's in the upstairs men's room, right above the urinal, there's a photo of your brother D Boone. He did a gig there, Charlie.
No, the Minutemen did. He jammed a little man with a gun in his hand with us.
Oh, is that what it is?
With a stand up bass with no fucking amp.
Yeah.
I told
man.
Georgie and D Boone, we gotta get little.
that is like a prime example of that is, you know. Like, good music is just good music, you know? That stuff should come together in all walks of life, I think.
That's fucking righteous to say, Brother Troy. Thank you so much. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, January 30, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Troy. Troy Z or Ziegler? Ziegler?
I pronounce it Ziegler. My parents pronounce it Ziegler, so you
but
can
Ziegler
say
But Ziegler is the German. Yeah. Okay.
Hold tight
for hour two, people. January 30, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
next time. Nannies are nights with our half-sister moon. Why can't we switch automatically to ecocentric persuasions? Why can't we ditch autocracy for ecocentric persuasions now? We are being sacrificed by our own suspicions. We are being sodomized by repetition. We we'll be right back. accuse me of being an armchair traveler.
Thank you.
that's me scraping the ground. Under the hype, my B2 bomber life. Deep in the hunt, my paycheck is my gun. The unending fight to call myself alive. I'm trying not to die, trying not to die, trying.
Watch for Pedro show start up the second hour. Troy again with Serge Butterfly. Then we had Sam Bennett, Round and Round. God, his name is Chuck Berry. So, Waku Waku Kingdom, Pure Love, Brother Shige. Sleep Party People with 10 Feet Up, the Copenhagen 10 or X sessions. Maybe they ate a bunch of X, I don't know. The Lewis Cole featuring Dennis Hamm with trying Not to Die, which is a good recipe for the sitch. And then finally, Big Sur, Sarah Smiles. Big Sur, what's Big Sur?
Big Sur is a trio I was in with great bass player Juan Alderete.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Mars Volta.
Yeah.
He had a bad bicycle wreck, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's thankfully, on the... Yeah.
I love that guy, man. And I love his playing, and he's solid people, man.
Yeah, yeah. And, prime example of, really humble dude on the instrument, Like, he's been in it for so long. And when I got into that band, there was just no ego about playing. It was just all intrepid exploration and listening. And, yeah. So him on bass and a great singer named Lisa Papineau on vocals and keyboard. Yep.
Okay, let's paddle back a little bit, right? You're in the big block band for a little while. What goes on after that?
I was in that band. I was in a couple other metal bands, and then I came out here to visit a college. I graduated from school. I came out here to visit a friend, and then just realized I was hitting a ceiling in Boston, and I had some opportunities to play out here. So I made the jump. I made the drive.
It's a big drive.
Yeah, 3 days.
And you had the drum set in the car?
Yeah, in the U-Haul.
U-Haul, okay.
Yep.
Okay. And so what'd you do? You start answering ads in the recycle? No, recycle's probably too old.
No, recycle was around. Okay, I got set up when I came out here. I had some friends, so I got set up with a couple gigs, a couple things to play. So I was playing in a pop punk band. This is 97 I came out. And kind of touring around a little bit, going over to Europe a little bit. And then just teaching and working, normal stuff.
Teaching drums.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. That's fucking great. So was that part of your plan?
The teaching part?
Yeah.
Initially, it wasn't. Initially, it was this is an easy way to make money, and I knew I could do it, and I hated it for the first couple years, and then this switch just hit in me, and I still teach today a bunch because I just love it. I love passing on.
Sure. That's one of the things we kind of lost from those bebop guys, the mentor thing where you bring dudes into the band, right, when they're younger. And I saw that with Art Blakey. I saw that with Elvin Jones. The first time I saw John Coltrane's son, Ravi, was with Max, Roach. And that whole idea, apprenticeship kind of, or shop steward, whatever, a journeyman, we kind of lost that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. And, and some of the best, the best experiences I've had have had that mentorship, like meeting Nels for the first time.
Nels Klein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, being able to hang with him and talk to him. And
got a twin brother who does drums.
Yeah, Alex. Yeah, I've seen him play.
And he's not far. I think he's Eagle Rock.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, guys like that, Frizzell, spending time with Frizzell was like that.
Petra Hayden.
Yeah.
She's been Charlie's daughter. Tell me about, what's this field?
That's all me. That's me playing everything.
Oh, bitch.
That's my projects. And some of it, I think maybe the tunes I gave you is my brother Tim LaFave on bass.
Oh, okay. I had him on the show a few weeks ago.
On.
He's where, in Las Vegas now? Or no, he's in Tucson.
Yeah.
I want to play Time Traveler.
Thank you.
back to your memories. Porch swings, open endings. Come back to the many dreams you've had. It's far away now. This holding out as you wait for love that's gone.
Through the bubbles like a goldfish in champagne, with a little.
scraping the ground. Under the hype, my B2 bomber life. Deep in the hunt, my paycheck is my gun. The unending fight to call myself alive. I'm trying not to die, trying not to die, trying.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah, we started off that chunk and ended that chunk with some Field. So this is Time Traveler. Then we had big guitar Sam Locke Ward, Iowa City Monkey, also known as Summer's Over, but I'm Not Over, also known as Monkeys. This Italian band called Quiet Pig. And I don't know where they got the accents, because maybe a U.S. guy who moved over there. But Pineapple Empress from South London, Only You, the Stony Spring, Shameless Hippie Sex Party, Sean Lennon, The Capture, and finally Field again with Good Moon's Daughter.
Oh, yeah, Good Moon's Daughter.
Maybe some Scandinavian?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm a big Björk fan. And
Iceland.
Yeah, and that's her last name, actually.
I got to do one gig. Oh, it is. Yeah, that's right. Okay. She was like a star as a girl, so she lost her last name early. But I did a Stooges gig there in Reykjavik, and most people don't look like her.
Yeah.
So you think you could go to Iceland and see a lot of Yorks. She's very individualist. She came to the gig, and backstage she's telling Ig all these Norwegian jokes, you know, and he's part Norwegian, she didn't know, you know. And I guess there's some old, you know, how rivalries are. So I never heard any Belgian jokes till I went to Holland. You know,
sure,
whoever's next door, right?
Yeah.
So let's get back to your music. I'm interested about this Field thing. When did it start?
I've been doing that for maybe about a little over 20 years. I put a couple records out. But it's been kind of low key. Like I did some touring on that last record with my buddy Buzz from the Melvins. He took me out opening for this acoustic run he did. And then I opened for the Melvins here with Trevor playing bass.
Trevor Dunn. He was on the show.
Yeah.
Goddamn, small world. Yeah. But 20 years ago, you said you started. How did it start? Like you were just sideman-itis, or I want to do my own fucking thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's so I started, like I said before, like I always wanted to play guitar, so I started playing guitar when I was about 12. And like early guitar influence for me was like Jim Croce and
D-Boone loved that.
Oh, no shit.
That Time in the Bottle tune, he loved that tune, man.
No, yeah. So that kind of, you know, like I always had this big love and fascination for guys like that. So like Jeff Buckley and Elliott Smith.
Wow,
and
yeah,
so that kind of inspired me to start doing my own version of that.
And like that leads into songwriting, composition, right?
Yeah.
But what about, because you know Chico Hamilton, he had trouble getting songwriting credit. Drummers can't write songs, right? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like if you don't write it on the guitar, it's not really a song.
Right.
Yeah, or a piano.
That's bullshit, man.
Okay. Okay, the notes don't last as long in the drums, but they're still notes. That's why they're different sizes.
Exactly.
And man, just think if you got the fucking drummer being the shot caller, what an interesting perspective to have a composition come from.
Yeah, I mean it can be. You know, I've been in bands where I've written a lot too. For me, you know, it's like this is, I guess, the prime thing I took away from Berkeley is just the expansiveness of music. So for me, it's just feeding the music, you know. So it's not even necessarily that, like with the Field stuff, I'm not even thinking about drums most of the time. I'm mostly just thinking about the song, and the drums are a minor portion of that, but it's not what I'm leading with, you know. I'm leading with the larger music, you know.
You know, because a lot of the one-man band, like Stevie Wonder, Dave Grohl, Prince, they started with the drum, right? And then they added shit.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, really interesting. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, January 30, 2021, Dish Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Troy Ziegler. Hold tight for hour three. January 30, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Oh, you can't know. Thank you.
Walk from Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Emma Ruth Rundle in To Fold in England. Then we had Crane, Dirt, and Jim with Remember When. Live jam they had in the backyard. Fatso Jetson, Mario Lali, great cat. Play Dead. Tollum and Escobar with an entitled excerpt from a jam they did together. And finally, again, Emma Ruth Rundle, Hand of God, and Brother Troy's going to enlighten us to Miss Emma Ruth Rundle.
Yeah, so she's just greatness, I think. She's a singer-songwriter. I was in a band with her for a little while, a band I had called Exit Strategy. She sang in, which she might be a little nonplussed about me mentioning, but you know, there's love between us, so that's cool. And then has been doing a solo thing for quite some time now. She's been putting records out. But those records are me on bass, me playing bass with her.
Yes.
Now, I know it looks like a guitar, but actually the closest sound on the stage is the kick drum.
Sure, yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and 100%.
Okay. Yeah, because you're a drummer, man. You know about this stuff. Because
I mean, there's like a modern drum clef now, but the drums used to be written in the bass clef orchestrally. And, you know, for years when the drum set was invented, it was always written in the bass clef. So, yeah, well, it lives in that world.
Maybe the snare and the cymbals, but for sure the toms and for absolutely sure the kick.
Yeah, yep.
Right. And, And there's just something about it, the idea of Aiden and Benton. Right? The big loyalty should be to the tune.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with bass, I started playing bass like when I started playing guitar as well. And it was, you know, bass was a specific inspiration. It was actually Cliff Burton for me.
He's great.
Yeah.
That cat he tragically killed in a bus wreck, I think.
Yep.
But, man, I mean, Robert's good, and you never could hear Jason.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame.
I think that's why he left, right?
Yeah, part of the reason, I think.
Yeah, okay. But early on, you know, you're a drummer man, a young man, and you're getting into guitar and bass. Could you, this one has bigger strings, but could you see there was other differences?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, they were all separate entities that had their own space from a young age. You know, that was always important to me. When I started playing drums, you know, thankfully, there were a lot of kids in my neighborhood who helped me on that journey, you know, speaking of the mentorship. And there were these two brothers who lived down the street from me, the Gagne brothers. And they really, when I started playing drums, they're like, oh, you got to check out Rush. And, you know, that was like the first check out these individual musicians reference point. And then at the same time, they were like, you know, what was big with us was that Repo Man soundtrack. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. That was like the Bible when I was a kid.
I got to do a... There was a tribute to that, and they had me, Let's Have a War. I did it with my second man version.
Oh, man.
Fear song. But that movie is, I know a lot of the cats in that.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's funny you mentioned that stuff. But what about the thing up the trip about the mixed cassette tapes?
Yeah, there was a good amount of that when I was a kid.
That was really heavy with this, because that's how you got turned on to new shit.
Yeah, that and picking up Maximum Rock and Roll, like every other week, you know, we went to the newsstand, and magazines were a huge, huge thing too.
It was called the Scene Report, right? There must have been a Connecticut one.
Yeah.
Tim Yohannan, he's a friend of mine, you know, cancer got him, but great cat. But that, I gotta say one thing though, some of that like category stuff was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Shred and crust and power violence. What the fuck is power violence?
Yeah, no, it's the worst in the metal scene, like in the hardcore and the metal scene. It's definitely the most egregious, I would say. Yeah.
Well, there's everybody's sinning. Because it's a marketing man's shortcut to try to get you something that you might not want to buy.
Yeah. Very true.
Look, I want to play this... something from Dan Rosenblum here.
Thank you.
Wap and Pedro Show. Started off the last music for this edition, Dan Rosenblum, Heliopteryx, and then Poison Idea. Man, they had a big guitar, man. He's no longer with us. But In my head, ache. Right? Two words. In my head, ache. Cosmo Shites after that from Hamburg, Those Happy Days. Dave Torn, Ballet Petru un Horizonte Disparu. And, yes, I had Tim Byrne on yesterday, and he's a collaborator with him. And then finally, Isis with Furtis E. Barin. Maybe it's Dutch. I don't know. Barin. Isis. But, you know, there was a lady Isis man in the 70s.
Yeah, I know about that, yeah.
But different than this one, yeah. This is a more different. Hard rock, right?
Yeah, these guys are from Boston. And sadly not a band. They broke up maybe about 10 years ago. Okay. But
and what'd you do, fill in?
Yeah, I played like percussion and acoustic guitar on that track.
Oh, wow. Okay, good job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to ask about this Dan Rosenblum talk. Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, so that's right?
That's me doing electronics again. That's Zach Danziger on drums, Timmy LaFave on bass again. Yeah. I do a lot of playing with him, it seems.
Yeah,
great band.
Well, you know, people ask me about the old days, and I say it was about people. I think the new days are about people, too.
I hope so, you know. I mean,
like, so if you end up playing with same kinds of cats, that means you got some kind of connect.
Yeah. Or just on the set. I remember I saw you when I was at Berkeley when you were touring on the Ball Hog record with
1995.
Yeah, with Hovercraft and the Foos.
I think it was Avalon, right?
Yeah.
The baseball.
Right, yeah, right across from the field. Yeah, that was right down the street from where I used to live. And I remember thinking, like, going into that gig, man, like, it seems like a family kind of thing, you know? Like it's not, there's no separation on the stage, you know? It's not, you know, big-time headliner and the underlings. It's
just
a collective kind of environment. And that kind of stuff is really inspirational to me, you know? It's like, that's the way it should be, I think.
They're very generous. You know, we only had 2 days of prac for that.
No shit.
I was shitting a pecan log, and I'd never stood in the middle before. I mean, it was heavy. Those guys were very... And Pat Smear! You know,
yeah.
I saw billions of germs. Well, maybe not billions, but a lot. A buttload. And to be on stage with them, wow. And Ed and Dave and... Everybody there, yeah, you're right, man. There's something about that. Instead of some, like, competitive sports kind of trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You crushed it that night, man. It was great. It was memorable.
Fuck, I was scared out of my brain. But that whole tour, that was a... I had to do it, though, because there's kind of sea change in my life. You know, things come up like that. The situation right now, are you trading files?
You mean like recording over the interwebs kind of thing?
Well, we can't do that yet. There's too much latency. But like you listen to something, you make a recording to it, and then you send the file, and then it's like putting together a multi-layer cake.
Yeah. I've done a couple soundtracks. I did some stuff for some film scores a month or two back.
A great drummer, man, doing soundtracks, right? He's on the last Cat'n Beefheart album. Cliff Martinez?
Oh, yeah.
See, there's another. Why can't a drummer be a composer? And that's like a big thing, right, when you're doing soundtrack to a movie.
Yeah.
Big picture thinking. I think the drummer's kind of in a key place that way.
Yeah, well, you know, you're always relegated to the back as a drummer, so I think that forces you to be
more... Well, that
more...
was fucked up. I tell you, that was a big mistake Minutemen made. George Hurley should have been... And I don't know if you've seen the last 20 years, but I always have the drummer man now downstage.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, what's this denial shit? It's rhythm music. Put the guy up front.
That's very it.
The bow of the boat. The bow of the boat. do you have stuff that you're baking right now, though? That's yours.
I'm working on another field thing. I'm working on a trio thing that I think I'm probably going to do with Trevor and hopefully with Larry Lalonde.
Oh, Larry on bass.
What's that?
Larry on bass from Victim Family.
No. Trevor Dunn on bass, Larry Lalonde on guitar.
Oh. Oh, no, yeah. Larry's from Primus.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Larry from Victim Family, but the Victim Family drummer man is the helper man for, you know, that's a good thing about Alzheimer's. You're always meeting new people. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, Larry. Yeah. Haven't seen him for many years, but I got to do a tour with him, and he's a beautiful cat. He was weighing the 7-layer 7-Eleven burritos. Not 7-Eleven, Taco Bell. That's one thing that sticks in my mind, but he's great music. I would love to hear this. When you guys get that going, will you come back on the show? Because we're out of time, Troy.
100%, man. 100%.
It's beautiful. I love what you're doing. I love your mission in music.
Thank you, man. It's an honor to just to speak with you.
Well, right back. So when you get this, and Trevor fucking happening, basement. Okay. When you get it, please come on the show. And we could do a conference call maybe with them cats, too.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay, thanks so much, Troy. Keep on keeping up. People, it's been a January 30, 2021 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.